Revising buffers. Buffers may be required between process steps, bill of material levels, or other areas of interface to absorb the effects of variability from one process or level to the other. For example, without buffers, if a product that is normally produced in the hundreds of units has 2 units scrapped at material requirements planning, MRP, level 2, then MRP would need to increase the schedule by 2 units, which might affect MRP levels 3 through 6. In a different week, if orders were 288 units rather than the forecast of 300 units, the schedule would be reduced by 12 units. Frequent small changes up and down through the levels in MRP is the primary cause of MRP system nervousness. Buffers therefore act as shock absorbers to absorb minor variability in supply and demand quantity and timing so that replanning is not so frequently needed. Despite their necessity, buffers are inherently problematic because they are basically giving the MRP system false inputs. An MRP system is effective because it determines the actual timing and quantity requirements for a vast number of materials. Rather than telling the MRP operators what the real need is in terms of timing and amounts, the buffers create artificial required dates or artificial quantity requirements. If operators cannot trust the schedules, this might lead to an informal schedule of actual needs, which could itself become a problem. Use of buffers requires all operators to understand their purpose. If the system can operate correctly with smaller and fewer buffers, this should be the goal. There are a number of types of buffers that can be used. Safety lead time, safety stock, and yield factors are discussed next. Safety lead time. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines safety lead time as an element of time added to normal lead time to protect against fluctuations in lead time so that an order can be completed before its real need date. When used, the material requirements planning, MRP, system, in offsetting for lead time will plan both order release and order completion for earlier dates than it would otherwise. SINs, protection time, safety time. Safety lead time involves ordering a material or scheduling production a certain number of periods earlier than is actually needed. MRP systems should be able to accommodate changes to both the planned due date and the planned release date so that the order is still due in the desired period. Safety lead time helps mitigate timing uncertainty better than safety stock can. It is commonly used for purchased items based on historical supplier delivery reliability. Safety lead time is the preferred option for dependent demand items over using safety stock because there is only demand uncertainty, just delivery reliability uncertainty. If used for demand uncertainty, safety lead time that becomes a regular part of the system would result in higher average inventory than does the use of safety stock. Also, these changes would later need to be reversed if the adjustment is meant to be temporary, and this step could be forgotten, so safety lead time should be reviewed on a scheduled basis, as is also the case for safety stock. Safety stock. MRP systems can easily accommodate safety stock, as it simply deducts the safety stock from the projected available balance before calculating net requirements. Revising safety stock levels is best done using a data-driven approach. However, if a situation is rapidly changing, such as a product moving from the introduction lifecycle phase to the growth phase, the historical data may not show the trend and may need to be adjusted using data from other products that have experienced the same trend, or by trial and error. Yield factors. Yield factors affect supply quantity in terms of the net yield after considering the scrap produced. Yield factors can be built into lot sizes by increasing the lot size by the given percentage amount, so the process output results in the desired lot size. Yield factors can create confusion on the shop floor as to whether the amount specified on shop papers and the scheduled receipt is the starting quantity or the expected ending quantity. Clarifying that this is the starting quantity tends to work better in actual practice, since operators know how much material to input, but would have to estimate how much would be output. Specifying the starting quantity requires actual scrap amounts to be entered into the system at the end of the operation so that later operations will have accurate input amounts. A benefit of this extra work up front is that operators can have good data on the amount of scrap being created and can work to reduce it and the related yield factors over time.